This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 19, Electric Cars.
Hey, Tony, how's it going, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The weather's getting warmer, you know? Although I'm staying more inside trying to get a lot of writing done.
Oh yeah, you just showed me it's not even your final paper for PhD school.
No, it's for publication. We can't talk about it. It's embargoed. We can't talk about it. But we can talk about these awesome blue light filtering glasses that I got from my computer screen. Can you see them?
I see them, and you look pretty badass in them.
I know, but everything looks a little yellow to me now, so.
Were you having issues with your eyes or headaches or anything before?
No, not really. I just got them because I knew I'd be staring at a screen for a long time.
Oh, that's a good idea. I know for me, at least, the only reason I use glasses at the computer is because I used to get headaches, but the blue light filter and the AR coating, the anti-reflective coating, works wonders.
Just for like normal glasses?
I have 20/20 vision. I just use them for computer only. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What kind of brand of glasses do you use?
VE Soho.
Where'd you get those from?
The eye doctor. No, my eye doctor.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, moving on from glasses to cars, today on the 4501 podcast, we're going to be talking about electric cars, and I don't know what an electric car is, so Tony, explain this.
Yeah, so as opposed to a traditional car which uses gas as its primary source of energy, electric cars use a battery, and the idea here, I think, is reusable, renewable energy. Right, because gas is a limited resource. It's a finite resource on planet Earth, and one day it will...
Wait. What? Explain that. For those people that don't understand fossil fuels.
Yeah, I mean, to me...
Would you want me to explain it? Or?
Go ahead. Yeah, you seems like you're trying to get at something. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, explain what do you mean by finite resource?
Oh, yeah, so there's only X amount of gallons of gas on planet Earth. So once we burn through all of that fuel, one day in the future, there will be none left.
Yeah. And so what Tony's trying to get at is what he means is that basically gasoline is essentially carbon, right? So when you always hear about oil and crude from like Texas or Saudi Arabia, basically gasoline is a derivative of that. And so you extract it from the ground, you extract oil from the ground, and then you refine that oil into a pure form of gasoline, which we're able to use for cars and lawnmowers and what else, Tony? I don't know. Plants. I don't know.
Those are the two main ones, I think. Ships and airplanes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, ships and airplanes. And so basically what he means by finite is that a long time ago, to get that oil, you have decaying like leaves from like the prehistoric dinosaur era and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And all those dinosaurs and decomposing plant material, whatever, got trapped in the ground. And that's how the oil's made. It's like, I think, right? Is that true or am I lying?
My high school biology class, yes. I think that's what I learned back then.
Okay. Well, if we're lying, then look it up. But I think that's how oil is made. It's just like compressed carbon over time.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Okay. And so, like, that's what I mean by finite resource. At some point, we're just going to run out of it. And so electricity is the future. Batteries are the future. Or something else could happen.
Yeah, maybe solar or something. But at this point, I don't think that's powerful enough to charge a car, give energy to a car.
Yeah. I guess you're right. So let's talk about, like, what are the... I guess the most well-known brand is Tesla, right?
That's what I think. When I think of electric cars, I think of Tesla. You're right.
Yeah, and obviously Tesla was made by the visionary, the god, Elon Musk.
Did you ever read his bio?
I did not. Wait, like a book bio or just like his bio in general?
No, a book biography.
I did not. I didn't even know he had one.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it. It just goes to show you how much of a visionary he is, even since like being a child. And all the companies he started, SpaceX. He has a solar company too, right?
Well, he bought Solar... Well, I think... I forget the whole thing. I think he made Solar City, but then Tesla bought Solar City. Mm. So I don't know how that actually legally works, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Tesla City and... Or Tesla City. Tesla and Solar City are now one company.
Okay, I got you. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Tesla's not the only manufacturer of electric cars, right? Like, I think your other ones, like Ford, Toyota... Yeah. Etc.
So everyone's trying to break into electric cars now, because what Tesla's done is they have like a high-end premium roadster that costs like $60,000 at least to make, and Tesla's essentially eating up all of like the high-end electric car companies, and so the a lot of like celebrities buy Teslas because they can, and a lot of the celebrities live in California, which is essentially a very green state, meaning that they're very pro renewable resources. Mm-hmm. And so I think just because of that exposure, a lot of people today, like average Joes, want to invest in electric vehicles because of that exposure. And also there just seems to be this greater movement towards going green because there's global warming going on, Tony, mm-hmm. which you don't believe in.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Right? Global warming is real. That's why we need to use electric cars.
It's possible, yes.
No. It's real. why is that, Tony? Let's go back to your electric or climatology knowledge.
Yeah, so...
I'm trying to convince you that global warming is real.
My argument, which I made on a previous episode, was the fact that there's not enough historical data, like thousands of years ago, to prove global warming, to prove that the Earth is heating up. That's all. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, what we do know, well, we should have Nick on to confirm this, or you can get Nick on to confirm this. But basically, because of all these emissions that these gases that these cars that are gasoline powered produce, they have these byproducts that are obviously vapors or gases that go into the atmosphere. And basically, what we do know is that there's this protective layer around the Earth. And what happens is that the chemicals and the gases that our cars or lawnmowers actually produce too go up into the atmosphere, and they actually deteriorate that protective layer. And so can you guess why that protective layer is important?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be saving us from the sun's radiation, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so if we degrade that layer to a point where it can't protect us anymore, we're all going to fry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you always hear about this hole in the ozone layer. Didn't Nick say he, like, his company found that, like, established that? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember that either.
Okay. I think he did.
Okay.
I think BIOS?
Yeah.
BIOS did?
BIOS. Yep.
Yeah. But anyways, so that is what, when you hear about the hole in the ozone layer, a lot of people attribute that to kind of greenhouse gases or emissions caused by coal plants producing energy or even cars. So that's why people feel the need to purchase electric cars, because electric cars don't have these noxious gases or detrimental gases that are going to harm the environment.
Right. Yes. Specifically, electric cars don't. But the biggest concern that I have with electric cars, and I'm going to take the stance of being like the anti-electric car guy here for a minute. The biggest concern I have is that these electric cars have to charge their battery with some sort of energy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So where's that energy coming from?
Solar energy.
In an ideal world, yes, it would. But unfortunately, not all power plants on the power grid are hooked up to solar energy. A lot of them still do use coal as their power. And when I say a lot, I don't actually know that for a fact, but I know some of them still use coal to produce electricity and send it out to residential homes, which is where you will be charging up your car most of the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. The only counter I would say is that most of the states that still use coal aren't very pro-electric. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, like Pennsylvania, or I guess maybe nearby you or further out west, maybe towards Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
The further away you move from like the cities, right? So the further away you move from Pittsburgh, obviously it's a big coal city or maybe it's a big steel city, but I assume there's a lot of coal being made out there too.
Yeah.
No?
All of northern Pennsylvania pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're right.
And so I think the more residential you get in areas that would actually use coal to produce energy, you don't really have a lot of charging stations out there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the likelihood of that area being more dependent on electricity isn't, or electric cars isn't as kind of prevalent as you would maybe in downtown Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But you're definitely right. Like to produce energy, you certainly do have states that probably use coal or something or some bad way of producing energy. Or I shouldn't say bad, but like inefficient,
non-green, producing,
yeah, non-green ways. But I was thinking about this earlier. Like a lot of the states that are pro electric cars are pro renewable resources.
So you're saying like California?
Yeah, California,
New York,
maybe not Texas, but like DC is pretty pro renewable. Well. DC, you're going to have both people there, but both sides of the aisle there. But I mean, DC is like, they have like three Tesla dealerships there.
Yeah.
So pretty much their areas where A, they're pro green, and B, they have money to spend.
No, totally. Yeah. The more wealthy cities. And I'm sure if you go onto like Tesla.com and look at their map of all their charging stations, you'll see a high concentration in those areas around those larger green cities.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about how Teslas actually get charged or how electric cars get charged. So we keep bringing up Tesla, okay? But Tony's right there. You can have like Fords. Ford, I think, is trying to mandate that they have more electric cars coming out. Toyota's been pretty big into electric cars. And I think more of the German companies are starting to get more into electric cars. And so within the next 10 to 20 years, you should have a lot of options between brands of what kind of electric car you want to purchase. Like it's not going to be like Tesla or Ford. It'll be Tesla, Ford, Toyota, BMW, Audi, whoever, which is obviously going to create a lot of competition within the marketplace and leading to a decrease in electric car cost. Because right now, do you know how much it costs to buy like a Tesla or a normal electric car?
I don't know, but I would assume it's more than a brand new like diesel or I'm sorry, a brand new fuel burning car, right?
Yeah, I think so. So Tesla just came out with their Model 3s a couple of years ago. Those average, they say it's a $30,000 car, but it's not a $30,000 car. It's more along the lines of like $40,000.
Oh, really?
Like 40 to 45, maybe up to 50, because Tesla kind of tricks you because they'll there's now currently within the United States, as of January 2019, there is a federal rebate that you get for purchasing an electric car.
Oh, cool. I didn't know about that.
But that's slowly decreasing over time, because I think once the total number of electric cars within the United States hits like 1 million or something like that, that rebate goes away. So it's a finite rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And it decreases as the more electric cars get bought. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's eventually going to run out, whatever.
Yeah, so it'll just run out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And then every state actually has an electric car rebate that you can get also, but that only goes up to a specific amount. So I think like in Maryland, you can get $6,000 as a tax break for $6,000. But I think it's only if you purchase a car that's an electric car that's less than $45,000 or $40,000 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, I mean, yeah, that's a really good incentive from the government's perspective to get people to invest early in an electric car, because like you alluded to earlier, the price is probably going to come down over the next few years with all the competition surrounding this industry. So that's really cool. I did not know about that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we're going on. I mean, obviously, I would love to buy an electric car if I could, but I just can't afford it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they call like normal cars?
Non-electric.
So they're non-electric. So in order to have an electric car, you got to charge it. And so you can go to what we call charging stations, electric car charging stations. And they're usually found in parking lots, and they look like almost air tire
Yeah.
Kind of like they, some of them. So sometimes you get like these large ones, but essentially they look like air tire pumping stations.
Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy.
Except they're like electric plugs instead. But like sometimes, and usually they come along with a sign that says designated for electric car charging only. Now, some people who are very anti-electric cars, what they'll do is they'll actually park in those spots so that you can't charge it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like you see this a lot in Texas and in a lot of the states down south that are just pro gasoline. But do you know what that's called when that happens?
I don't know.
It's called you got iced.
Iced, really?
Yeah, do you know what ICE stands for?
Oh, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of anything.
You're going to hit yourself when you... It's called internal combustion engine.
ED? Engine?
No, internal combustion engine. Duh.
Okay.
Iced.
Okay.
Right? Because obviously if you have a gasoline-powered car, it uses internal combustion to... See, it's not funny when I have to explain the joke, Tony.
I hope our listeners are laughing and it's just me that didn't hit home with...
Okay. Well, yeah, it's okay. So it means you got iced.
Got it.
Not natty iced, you got normal iced.
That's immediately what I thought of, unfortunately.
No, no one's hiding a Smirnoff Ice in a bag and giving it to you to drink.
Thank goodness. That's not the case.
Okay. All right. In any case, let's get back to... So what are kind of like the things, the main concerns, I guess, of buying an electric car? Like, let's go over the pros and cons. Like, because obviously I'm very pro. Can you name any cons that like would be bad for buying an electric car at the moment in 2019?
Yeah, totally. I think for right now, price is probably the main concern for a lot of people. Like we said earlier, that the price of electric cars are going to be generally more expensive than a traditional fuel burning car. In addition to that, I think a lot of people consider how many charging points are around their local area. So if you live, like we were talking about earlier as well, if you live in a place like rural Pennsylvania where there's not a lot of charging stations, you might be deterred from buying an electric car because you don't want to get stranded on the side of the road when you run out of juice in your battery. And I think the only other thing I can think of is just people's perspective of electric cars, meaning like, are they really green? Are they really having a positive environmental impact? And looking at the full like life cycle of a electric vehicle, what's going to happen to those batteries when they're all used up? That's not an issue with traditional cars where the battery is so small, but with an electric car, you have these massive arrays of batteries that once all those energies are used up, all these rare earth metals that, you know, make up the battery, what are we going to do with them? I don't think we have addressed that problem at this point in 2019. So there's probably more, but those are the ones I can think of. Can you think of anything else?
No, I never really thought about the battery disposal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you got to, like, batteries have a finite life too. Like, you look at your iPhone battery or the batteries on a flashlight, they all have a shelf life. They're going to run out eventually, right? Their capacity lowers every time you charge it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the drawbacks of buying an electric car is that you certainly have to actually account for how far and like what the range is of that electric vehicle. Because I was looking it up on the Tesla website, and the cheapest Tesla Model 3, the one that they expect to be $30,000, that only has a range of 240 miles. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And just for comparison's sake, my car, it's a Kia Optima 2015, can get up to 500 miles on gasoline. One tank of gas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot more.
And so,
sure.
Obviously, you can increase that range by buying more, like a higher extended range or long range car, but that's a significant price. That's like a $15,000 to $20,000 addition. So your $30,000 car has gone up to $50,000.
Yeah, I do think the majority of the cost in an electric car is the batteries, yep. Right? Like that's the main cost.
Oh, absolutely. So I think that's the one drawback. Like our battery technology is not there yet.
Yes, and although that's the case, batteries are such a good thing because I read a study that compared the, you know, a traditional fuel burning car that gets, you know, on average 30 to 40 miles per gallon. I think we can agree that's a pretty safe bet for 2019. When you actually look at the cost per, I guess, unit of energy and convert that back into like gallons, miles per gallon for an electric car, you're looking at some of these electric cars getting, you know, close to 100 or even more than 100, in quotes, miles per gallon, right? Because you're not actually burning gallons of fuels. So in that case, although batteries are like this bad thing with electric cars, they are pretty efficient, I guess.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What about, okay, so this is kind of a, since you used to work at a hedge fund, although it does nothing to, what you do there has nothing to do with kind of gasoline prices. What do you expect kind of in the future for like gasoline prices versus electricity prices? Because, right? Because think about it that way. Because so we're basing these electric cars off, I mean, Tesla does this. Everyone does this. They say you'll pay more up front, right? And
yeah,
you'll save money at the pump, because electricity is cheaper than gasoline. What happens if electricity becomes more expensive than gasoline?
Yeah, I think you're screwed at that point if that ends up being the case, right? Because your only choice to power the car is with electric.
Yeah, and I don't know what the... I mean, I don't see that ever happening to you.
I don't. I really don't. I think there's enough people looking at renewable energy sources, whether that's wind or solar or whatever, ocean, you know. I think there's enough people looking at those alternative sources of energy now that we won't have to rely on these fuels or, you know, these non-renewable sources of energy in the future.
And so I think what is more realistic at this point, and this is very proximal, like this is within kind of a, like this is a possibility within our kind of generation. Like this is more possibility than electricity being higher than gasoline. What if gasoline drops to below electricity?
Price-wise, you mean?
Price-wise. Like, what happens if you just have, if for some reason we found, let's say we find a brand new gasoline, like an oil field in Pittsburgh, in Reading, Pennsylvania, with the Amish. Okay? Right. Reading, Pennsylvania, hub of gasoline. And then suddenly 10 million or 100 million more barrels of gasoline come online. What's going to happen? I mean, because Vaseline is a very good petroleum jelly, but gasoline is highly dependent on supply and demand, right? A high supply, low demand, and low demand, prices are going to go down.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at here, and I still don't think that even if we find millions and billions of gallons of gas that we didn't know about, I still do think that there's going to be a big push towards electric and renewable energy sources. Just because it is finite, right? Like we talked about in the beginning of the episode, no matter how many gallons we find extra, some point in the future, whether that's 100 years from now or like 10,000 years from now, those sources of energy are going to dry up. So as long as people are looking forward and not really concerned with, you know, saving a buck today, and they're concerned about future generations, I think renewable energy is going to win out in the end.
So are you going to buy an electric car in the future once you stop becoming a traveling nomad?
Yeah, so I don't have a car now, and at one point I said that my next car that I would buy was going to be a electric car, but until the prices come down, I don't see myself buying one.
Yeah. So one of the things about electric cars that I have trouble with, and it's not trouble, but there's so many associated costs with it. Like, so if you buy an electric car, how are you supposed to charge it?
Yeah, you have to set up some type of charging station at your house, right?
Exactly. And so I think what you have to do is, and I don't know voltages, maybe you do, but you can't use so if you wanted to charge a car with like a normal house outlet, that would take like 5 days to charge. And I'm elaborating here, but what I mean is like, it's going to take a long time, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is you have to get one of those high voltage outlets, like the one you plug into for like a dishwasher or like, not a dishwasher.
Right.
Well, you know, like the big
washing machine.
The big outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have to get your garage fitted with a that outlet, and also like another way to convert that energy into some way that's usable by the car. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, some type of inverter, maybe that's the right word.
Or inverter or a power charger. Like Tesla has this option that you can actually install in your house.
Mm.
But at the same time, that's an extra $10,000 cost.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. But like these costs add up.
Totally. It's kind of like solar panels, right? Like those cost a ton of money, and it's the same idea, like upfront investment versus saving money down the road. And I'm sure there's a point where the savings cross, like there's a point where it's worthwhile, right?
Yeah. Yep. No, but I agree with you. Because solar panels in Connecticut are really big for some reason. I think it's because they had such a good kind of state rebate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad considered getting solar panels because essentially for solar panels, you use the sun, you put panels on your house, you use the sun to charge it and you use it for all your household electricity needs. And then the solar panels would also be tapped into the electricity grid within the state. And so any excess power that you had, you would sell that off to the state in the form of credits and you would pay off your bill in like 30 or whatever years.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the same concept where you're paying a lot now to save, but are you really going to be alive to see the savings in like 30 years?
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you're young enough, but the problem is young people don't have a lot of money.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Young people don't have money. It's one of those like cost benefit analysis that I don't want to deal with.
If you won the lottery, let's say you won $200,000.
Yes.
Would you buy an electric car?
No.
If you won $1 million.
Yes. I mean, but $1 million, you would have, like $1 million at that point is so like disposable.
Right.
$200,000 is not. Like, well, I have other priorities I would spend that $200,000 on than a car. Like,
fair enough.
Because like you have a car, right? Everyone has a car. Like, what's the incentive to switch over to an electric car right now?
Yeah, I think being green, like having a good feeling about being green might be.
Or just having a conversational piece.
Mm. Like yeah, like a status
right
type of thing, yeah.
Like, actually, I know why I would switch over to an electric car. So, but it's not even about the electric car, though, right? Okay, so I would switch over to a Tesla right now. If I had the money and if I was in the market for a new car, I would switch over to a Tesla right now because of the autopilot feature.
Yes.
But that,
good call.
But that's more like...
That's a separate reason.
That's a separate reason. That's because it's a self-driving car.
Yeah. I think we should talk about this. Not in this episode, but in a future episode, maybe next week.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I actually have been reading up a lot about this. And so
yeah.
I think it'd be cool. You want to talk about next week?
Yeah, yeah. Just like autonomous car... Let's talk about this self-driving future of the Tesla and also how we see that going into the future fully autonomous cars, right?
Okay. All right, let's do that then.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about electric cars? Like, okay, well, first off, before we get to anything else, since we have a couple more minutes to talk about this, do you still believe in global warming?
I'm going to stand strong and say that I think it's possible, but I'm not convinced at this point.
You know what? I just read an article that said 98% of the Amish don't believe in global warming. So this is, you're just supporting your fellow Amish brethren. So I commend you for sticking with your ideals and your goals.
Hey, what can I say? I'm a loyal guy.
All right. Okay. Anything else about electric cars that you want to talk about?
No, I think we hit it all. I think it's clear now. I would love to hear what other people think about it, though. So if you guys want to put your 2 cents in on this topic, just visit us at the 4501podcast.com/19, where you can check out the show notes for this episode and drop a comment.
Yep. Okay. Well, as always, thanks for listening. We will see. Oh, and I'm not going to forget this again. So you say it, Tony.
Okay, fine. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.